This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Machender, International Relations. Professor, Washington had a noisy week, but it wasn't about foreign policy. Yes, the leak of documents not verified by Reuters came at the end of the week, and three U.S. officials said Russia did it. That is a theme in Washington, Professor. Have you noticed that? Domestic or foreign, Russia did it. However, all eyes were focused on an earlier president whose explanation for everything was, I didn't do it, and whose critics all said Russia did it. However, this time it was about, well, I can't summarize what it's about. There's a misdemeanor that's said to lead to a felony, but we don't know what the felony is, won't know until December. There was a great deal of circus atmosphere in Manhattan. It had nothing to do with the war or the fate of Europe or the price of gasoline. I do note that the administration is sensitive to conditions about the war, and they're shipping more and more arms to support Ukraine. And then we had the leaks saying they don't trust Ukraine. So your measure, quickly, because Washington's focused almost entirely on partisan battles over the election of 24, your measure of Washington these last days?
Well, I'm rather worried because as I've said since we began this this talk fest long ago, Washington, except under Eisenhower, I think, and to some extent Reagan, they don't do their homework. This administration, from judged by expertise and also experience, and also appropriateness of the appointee to the job, is one of the most mediocre we've ever had, which is unfortunate because the challenges that are going to arise when this war ends are going to be among the most serious that we've ever encountered. The termination of World War I and World War II and of Vietnam were very, very simple by comparison with what we're going to face, which is a real rearrangement of Eurasian security. And I just don't see anybody looking at it with this wide a perspective. And what we see instead is that there's a debate about whether Ukraine should be allowed into NATO. And the Germans don't want that. So Mr. Blinken has said it's not going to happen. That's a completely unimportant issue. If the war ends, as I expect, NATO is not going to survive it, and the Germans will be so scared that they won't need any coaxing by Mr. Blinken. We have an American initiative to send two visitors to China, but we can't confirm it because they will not answer our phone calls. Now, we've got to have somebody in the State Department who understands that if you're the United States of America, far and away the most powerful country in the world, you call up China, which is falling apart, and they refuse to take your phone call, this is some kind of a signal. And the correct reaction is to stop calling and stop suggesting visits and instead signal by such actions as changes in tariffs, investigations of corruption, and military action. It's quite remarkable to me that after will come to President Tsai Ing-wen of Taiwan. As she arrived in New York, and there is a consulate of the People's Republic of China, and they got together a crowd to protest her. Most of these people are illegal immigrants from Fujian province, and they were paid $200 each to protest. When she left in Los Angeles, the consulate, I'm not sure which consulate it is out there, but they paid $400 plus buses, plus food and all the rest, and a bunch of illegal Chinese came and protested. Now, this is completely out of bounds. A foreign an embassy in a foreign country is not allowed to organize people in that foreign country, particularly people who aren't supposed to be there, to interfere and try to sabotage foreign policy activities of that country. That is not what embassies are for. And pay them off? I mean, the number of violations we have here, and I'm just very puzzled. Were I in the White House or in the administration, which God forbid, I would just call the Chinese up and say, look, those two consulates are now permanently closed. We're not going to open them again. And all the Chinese staff must be out of the country within 48 hours. And if you have to have somebody pack up for you, well, better call them right now. But that's what happens to you. Now, that would reduce the amount of gross interference that the embassies, that the consulates and the embassy carry out in this country. I mean, that would be another program, but I know a great deal about how the consulate in New York terrorizes American citizens of Chinese origin in New York. They have a regular thug division that is run from Peking. And the New York Police Department, they're out of their depth, but they're trying very hard. But the problem is that we won't prosecute these cases. And if you look at the policy of our government, we don't prosecute them for messing or mucking about in American politics. And if one of our people is going over to China, one of our top China people in this administration, he always releases a couple of spies. It may have taken the police 5 years to get the conviction, but we have no consciousness of this, and this is going to end very badly. But I would say that the chief problem is that we're going to be distracted, and we're going to have big fights about nothing, and we'll have no wisdom about the major issue, which is, what do we think Eurasia should look like after this is ended?
Let's go to Eurasia, because you're speaking of Beijing from the point of view of Washington. Best to speak of it from the point of view of Asia. First Beijing and then Taipei.
Okay.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. We're crossing the Pacific very quickly. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.